Hi, welcome to the Read Play Talk podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Paris.
And I'm Jack Love, your other host.
This podcast is a resource for all things Read Play Talk. We hope that our listeners will be encouraged to read, play, and talk with their children every day. In this episode, we are talking with Kelly Smith, a behavioral specialist from Mesquite ISD. Kelly is an expert on love and logic and claims that these principles and tricks can be used on all ages.
So, Kelly, welcome. We learned something new today, and it's not the 6-foot rule, but the cow rule.
Yes.
That's right.
So I've already learned something. We haven't even started, and I've learned the cow rule.
Yeah, put a cow in between you and another person.
That's right.
Safe social distancing. Jack, I don't know if you know this, but we are in the presence of education royalty today.
Gosh,
if you have been around Mesquite ISD very long and you hear the name Kelly Smith, the next words out of that person's mouth are either, she is amazing, she is incredible, she's a great educator and a great storyteller. So we are just so excited, Kelly, to have you on the Read Play Talk podcast today.
Oh, I'm so excited, and you just made me blush. But yes, I'm very excited.
All true things. I did not lie one bit.
That's what we do here. We make people blush.
That's right.
As we get started, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, your background, all that kind of stuff.
Well, sure. I got to Mesquite as fast as I could, Mesquite ISD, but I started with Mesquite ISD in 1995, and I was the original behavior specialist, and I interviewed for it. My background's in clinical psychology, and they were looking for a teacher with a lot of behavior background. And I was working for the Texas Department of Human Services at the time. And a friend of mine who was a social worker in the district said, hey, it looks like this job is opening up and you might be a really good fit. At that time, I had just had a newborn. So my husband and I, we've been married now 30 years and we have 5 children. We have 4 girls. And then everybody also probably knows stories about my son, Travis.
Yes.
And he is the baby and he's the only boy. And so he was 6 months old when I interviewed for the job with the district. And I was looking for a job that was better hours and also closer to home. Plus, my older kids had gone to Mesquite ISD and my husband, too. And so I interviewed and they took a chance on me. And that was in 1995. And I've been here ever since. And I love it. I always tell people I love working with kids who have any type of emotional or behavioral or problems that are interfering with their ability to learn. And so that's what a behavior specialist does. And I will say now in 2020, we have, I think, 12 behavior specialists.
We have
grown into an entire department, and it's fantastic to work with that team and to see it grow. And I always like to say I'm the old dog on the block because I've been around the longest, and I am the oldest one, but it's so much fun to be able to know. And I get a little emotional about this, that when I retire, the district's going to be in great hands, and they're going to have a great team of behavior people who can help our students out and our parents and our families and our coworkers out. And my husband, a little bit of background, my husband has ADHD, the hyperactive impulsive, so I leave work and I go home to more fun. And that's why that's why Lindsay said I have a lot of stories, because I walk the walk and talk the talk. Our kids are all grown, but our youngest daughter moved back in with us, and so I get to try love and logic all brand new with a 3-year-old grandson that lives with us, and that has already given me new stories.
Right.
So that's kind of who I am.
So it's funny you say that, because my oldest son is ADHD and dysgraphia. I guess they oftentimes come together anyway. So when we were having him evaluated and checked out, started checking off these marks. I'm like, that's me. That's me. That's me. My wife's like, that's you. Uh-huh. That's you. That's you. Yeah. So, and the doctor at the time said a lot of adults realize that they have it when they're having their children evaluated, because they realize all the check marks are there. And it's not something necessarily that was done when we were young. You know, you said you started in 1995. I mean, I was already out of college by that time.
Well, and before, I know we're not talking about ADHD, but that's a great passion of mine too, because people who have ADHD are truly my heroes, because you're right, we're still learning about it. It's still evolving. When I got my psychology degree in 1982, they thought you could outgrow ADHD.
Wow.
So now we know you don't, and we know it's a lifelong disability, and we know so much more about it. And love and logic works really well with that population too, but they really are my heroes. And you're right, it's amazing to see how much we learn about it and learn about ourselves at the same time. And just a little fact, I'll throw a little fact out. 50% of all people who have ADHD also have a learning disability.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's pretty common that they have some sort of a learning disability on top of the ADHD. So
wow.
Just a little sidebar.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about Love and Logic today. And I didn't know much about Love and Logic until I listened to another podcast you were on the Witty and Gritty podcast with my friends Brooke and Farron. And I'll link that so if our listeners want to go and listen to it. But you really kind of dig in to Love and Logic there mm-hmm. and what it is. So can you kind of give us a brief introduction? What is Love and Logic and who can it be used on?
Oh my goodness, I love Love and Logic. So Love and Logic's been around a long time, but I did not discover it until 1998, Mesquite ISD sent me to a conference, which I was very grateful. They always send me to continue and add things to be able to help other people. But it has been around since 1977. So the founders of the program are Jim Fay and Foster Klein. It's based in Colorado. It's research-based. It's data-driven. I love that, too. As a behaviorist, I love things that, you know, see that it actually works and they have data to back it up. What I really love, though, at that time in 1998, my son was 3 years old. And I call all the kids that I work with snickerdoodles because that's my favorite cookie. And when I'm working with a really challenging kid and I'm with them for a long time, I basically, you know, call them one of my snickerdoodles. And that's to remind me how much I love my job and working with the kids that I work with. But my own son was a snickerdoodle and he humbled me. He made me realize I thought I knew everything about behavior and psychology and parenting. We had four girls and we had thought we had it down. So when I went to Love and Logic training with Jim Fay back in 1998, he came to the Dallas area, I fell in love with the program. And I always tell people, I experiment on my own family before I share. If it works with my family, it's going to work with anybody's family. Mm-hmm. And I started using the techniques on my youngest son, who was, like I said, was about to be three, and one of our daughters. I saw that it worked. And I was like going, I have found a gold mine. And so I made it kind of a personal mission to spread the word of Mesquite ISD. And actually, I was like a traveling salesperson back then because I went to the schools and said, can I come and introduce your staff to Love and Logic? And at the time, I think we had like 33, 34 campuses. And I went to every single one of them that year.
Wow.
Let me in, let me in. And so it's a great program. It only has three rules, which I'll overview in just a moment. But what I really liked, I'd been using the program for about 4 or 5 years. And then I realized that my husband and I were going through a real trying time and we were having some difficulties. And I thought, I wonder if Love and Logic would work on grown-up people. So I tried it on my grown-up husband and it improved our marriage. And I tease with the Love and Logic people because I talk to them every now and then. And I say, at that time, I thought, they need to know this works on adults. I'm going to write a marriage book with Love and Logic. And before I knew it, they wrote one.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah, I was going, ooh. And so they wrote one. And now the catalog, and in fact, I brought a catalog to give to y'all. Anybody can order a free catalog from them. It has the tips inside of it. It has parenting packages, how to grandparent, foster kids, kids that have disabilities. Anyway, they've branched out to apply the principles of this program to all populations. And they actually say that Love and Logic works from about 18 months and then all the way to adulthood. When I do the training, I like to say it works from the cradle to the grave.
Yeah.
So that's me talking. But I have seen it work with all populations. And the reason why is because Love and Logic is a relationship builder. So if you want an improved relationship with anybody around you, Love and Logic is going to get you there. And it also has a byproduct if you're using it with kids. If your listeners were right here with me, I always ask the teachers, how many of you would like a kid that accepts responsibility for their own mistakes? All the hands go up. Mm-hmm. And then I ask, how many of you would like a good problem solver in front of you? All the hands go up. How many of you would like kids who learn how to be independent and very good thinkers? And everybody raises their hand. Love and Logic gives you all that. And at the same time, it builds relationships. So Jim Fay has a lot of isms that he says. And one thing that I really like that he says is this: when you have a good relationship with a person, you can deliver bad news and keep the relationship positive. Mm-hmm. And that's what parenting is about, and that's what teaching is about. We have to correct behavior. We have to deliver some negative news sometimes when a kid gets in trouble. But if you keep the relationship positive, then they're going to be able to handle that, and they'll learn from it, and then your relationship will grow. And that's why I love Love and Logic. It's just so great.
Yeah, it sounds like the dream right there. Like, I want all of those things.
Yeah, don't let my wife get this book.
She will love and logic you so fast.
She will.
Jack, I hear that a lot. Sometimes teachers will come and they leave and they go, I'm trying this on my own family before I even try it with my students. And then I'll meet the husband or the wife of the teacher who took the class, because I teach classes. In fact, I'm doing a, what do you call it, a Zoom? I'm still learning the language. I'm doing a Love and Logic for Community Ed. So parents can come and we're going to talk about love and logic. But I have teachers, spouses come up to me and they go, did you teach my wife or my husband love and logic? I go, only if you love it.
Exactly. Yes.
And they said, I recognize it now. Because it's really not trick or manipulation. It's about how we're interacting with the other person.
Right.
And so when we change the way we interact, the behavior changes.
Yeah. So can you walk us through an example? Say my child's avoiding bedtime and throwing a tantrum and blah, 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 blah. You know, the things that go mm-hmm. with youngins. Youngins. Since you're from East Texas,
you're
I'm
dating
gonna use
yourself
the word
over there.
Youngins.
You can use youngins. I am from East Texas, so you can. I got you totally.
Yeah. So how do we love and logic them through that situation?
Okay. So I'm going to review the three rules real quick for you, so that everybody can kind of know the three rules, and then I'm going to apply it to that. And like I said, I use love and logic every day. It's kind of like learning a new language, though. So even though I've been using love and logic for a long time, if my family was sitting right here, they would say, oh, she's only about 60% love and logic at home, and 40% she goes back to her other parenting ways. And that's probably true. At school, I'm pretty proud of myself. And just as I say it, this year will be different. But
right.
I'm probably 95-5 at school. 95% of the time, I am doing my love and logic every day. 5% of the time, I need a timeout.
Yeah.
I need the timeout. Right. I need to go take a break. But love and logic only, it's not about reward systems or keeping up with token economies or stickers or anything like that. And love and logic says that you can do all that. Love and logic plays well with anything else. So I always tell anybody who wants to know about love and logic, keep what you're doing if it's working. Love and logic's not going to ask you to change. If something's not working, then add a little love and logic. It goes really well with all different programs. And then what happens is usually you start using more and more love and logic because you like the results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
and
it's kind of like the seasoning salt of
exactly.
Yes.
Of
it goes. I like to say this because I love Brahms and ice cream. It's like building your sundae, and then at the top, you put, you know, some Cool Whip and or some whipped cream and a cherry on top, and then you could add nuts. The sundae still is going to taste great, but if you add more, it makes it even taste better.
That's right.
That's love and logic.
Right.
It plays well with everything. So the three rules, and I love it, the first rule is take care of yourself. So I always ask teachers and parents, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not doing love and logic. So how can you get back on the path? And taking care of yourself means you're not doing R&R, which means ranting and raving. Mm-hmm. It means if you find yourself, your blood pressure is going up and you want to yell and scream, or you just basically want to go run off somewhere and never come home or whatever, then you're not taking care of you, so you're not doing love and logic. So we'll talk about how you get back on the love and logic path. The second rule is you're going to share control by giving choices. We all love choices. Even little two-year-olds love choices all the way up until we leave this planet. So if we can share control by giving choices, we may head off a power struggle or even a tantrum by giving choices on the front, so that, and the choices that you can live with. So choices doesn't mean that you're being permissive. And love and logic, a lot of secondary people don't like the title love and logic because there's no love and logic with teenagers, they think. Love and logic basically means love is about the relationship. Are you having a positive relationship? And logic is staying calm within the problem so that you can solve the problem later. The second rule is, you know, sharing control by giving choices. And the third one's the hardest rule. You have to let the consequence of the choice teach the lesson and not our waggy tongues. And what that means is, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
So a kid makes a choice. It ends up not being very good. And we want to tell them what they should have learned. That's going to really send kids that are strong-willed or defiant into overdrive.
Mm.
So you have to kind of let them learn on their own, because people like to learn on their own. And Jim Fay always has this question. So those are the three rules. So he always has this question. When do you want kids to make a lot of mistakes? When they're little or when they're older?
Right.
And so the answer is?
Yeah, when they're little.
For sure, yeah.
Right, because the consequences of those mistakes are much less severe than potential if they're a teenager making those mistakes.
Well, and it's funny, as you're talking, I'm listening, and, you know, I have a 20-year-old. He always comes back, he goes, yeah, you're right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of this kind of makes sense.
And that's the logic part.
Right? Yeah.
It's very logical. In the moment of the kid temper tantrum, we're having a fit, we're not very logical often, and that's why you have to practice your skills before you get into it. To answer your question with the tantrums, if you're having a tantrum about bedtime and you kind of know that pattern already, love and logic is going to want you to kind of prepare beforehand by giving choices. So if you know the kid usually tantrums or melts down at bedtime, they're going to ask you to, the program's going to say, can you give some choices beforehand? And this next sounds really tricky, but it's not tricky. I even used it on my teenagers when they were in high school. because I was a teenager. We were all teenagers. And so we kind of know what's going on there. But it's about giving choices before. So if the kid's having a problem with bedtime, and you know bedtime's at 9, you set it beforehand and you go, hey, listen, do you want to go to bed tonight? I'll just use your name, Jack. So, hey, Jack, do you want to go to bed tonight at 8:30 or would you like to go to bed at 8:45? What do you think? Which would you like to go to bed tonight? So, Jack, what are you going to pick, 8:30 or 8:45?
Well, you know, am I thinking as a little kid?
Yeah.
Because as now, I'd probably go to bed at 7.
But I'm already asleep.
As a little kid, I'm going to take the latest choice, right?
Yes. And guess what? Your bedtime is 8:45. So I put it out there and I say, do you want to go to bed at 8:30 or 8:45? And you look at me and you get this confused look and you go, well, 8:45. Okay, Jack, you got to make those decisions. And then as it gets a little closer, I'm going to preload it again. And I'm going to say, hey, Jack, it's almost 8:45. Do you want to read a book or do you want to listen to music tonight before you go to bed? Which do you want to do? Book or music?
Likely music.
Okay. You know what? Let's get that music set up. You want to pick the music or you want me to?
You can pick it.
Okay. Now, see what I'm doing is I'm giving you all these choices beforehand. And then 8:45 comes and I'm saying, Jack, it's time for bed. And you go, oh, I don't want to go to bed. I go, but wait a minute, Jack. Who chose the bedtime?
Yeah, me. Yeah.
You did. You're such a smart kid. You did. You said 8:45 and you said music, right?
Yep.
So I got the music loaded. Let's go. I'll be glad to turn that music on as long as you're in the bed in about a minute. Because that's about what time it is. There you go. It works with older kids, too. We live in Balch Springs, and there's not much to do in Balch Springs, but they'd always go to Mesquite, you know, to meet their friends or whatever. The big town of Mesquite. From Balch Springs, it is, right? Yeah. So we've lived there for 30 years. So the kids, when they got in high school, their curfew was midnight, because there's not really anything going on much.
Nothing,
you know?
Good happens after midnight.
There
That's
we
what
go.
My mom always said.
And Lindsay, you're so right. Okay, so, and the kids would go, oh, I can't believe, because we have older kids. And so they go, I bet the older girls didn't have this curfew. Nope, they still had midnight was it, right? And so I would do this before they would go out on Saturday night. I'd go, hey, Caitlin, do you want to come in at 11:30 tonight or midnight? Mom, I know what you're doing. That L&L, because my kids call it L&L.
Right.
I know what you're doing. That's L&L. No, it's a question. Oh, it's a trick. Of course I want to come in at midnight. I go, so which one? I know, Mom. Now you're going to say, thanks for choosing. That's a great choice. See you at midnight. And then you're going to smile. Because there's lots of smiling in Love and Logic.
Yes.
But guess what? My kids always came in at curfew. I would just say, hey, you want to come? And I change it up sometimes. I go, Travis, you want to come in at 11:45 tonight or 12 o'clock? Of course, it's going to be midnight, Mom. Okay, I'm just, you know, the principle behind that is it's hard to argue with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give those choices, then they make the choice. It calms them down. So that question that you had, Jack, kind of reminded me of something that happened with my 2-year-old grandson last year when they first moved in with us. He was running around the house. He didn't want his diaper changed. And Caitlin, my daughter, grew up with Love and Logic. So he's running around and Caitlin's chasing him. And finally she goes, well, Mom, and she was giving me a hard time, but teasing me. She said, Mom, how would you use Love and Logic on this? Or she actually said, how would you use L&L on this? And I go, well, do you really want me to? Because, you know, I'm trying to do those boundaries, you know what I'm saying? And she goes, yes, Mom, go ahead, because he's not letting me change the diaper. So he's running around the house. And so I go, okay, with your permission. And I go, hey, sweetie, who do you want to change your diaper, me or G-Dog? And he stops and he goes, G-Dog. That's my husband. That's what he called him, G-Dog. So I hear G-Dog going, wait a minute, don't throw me in the mix. And I'm going, okay, you want G-Dog? So do you want me to get the diaper or do you want to get the diaper? And he goes, I'll get the diaper. I go, do you know where they are? Yeah. And then I go, where would you like to be changed? In the bedroom or on the couch? He goes, on the couch with G-Dog. When I've got the diaper. I go, great. And my daughter looked at me and she goes, I'm not liking you right now. Okay. But it works that way, and we do it all the time. Like when he goes, last week he didn't want a bath, and he's 3 now. I don't want a bath. I don't need a bath. And I go, hey, do you want bubbles, or do you want me to bring the bubble machine off the porch and bring it into the bathroom? Mm-hmm. You can bring the bubble machine into, yes, and I can turn it on. And he's going, well, I want that. And I go, I'll be glad to bring that in once you're in the bathtub, and you let Mom turn on the water. I'll bring it in. We'll do bubbles in the bathroom. Problem solved. He's in the bath. He's taking a bath. We're all happy. We're all calm. So Love and Logic is going to say, try not to wait till the tantrum. But if you have the tantrum, then you can give choices.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds funny, and I'm trying not to be sarcastic because sarcasm really kills the program. And I'm sarcastic, so I have to really tone that down.
Yeah, this does not sound like a program for me.
I am so sarcastic, Jack, that I've really learned with Love and Logic not to be sarcastic. But this is what we do. If you have a tantrum, then you can lean down and still give choices. Hey, would you like to have that tantrum in the hallway where you're at, and we'll all go over here and watch a movie with some popcorn and some gummy bears? Or would you like to take some deep breaths and rejoin us in the living room, and then we can talk about what's happened? You know what I'm saying? So you can give choices mm-hmm. with the tantrum. Yeah. Now, of course, when they're screaming, they may not be listening to you. So you may have to do visual clues. So the younger the child, because they're dysregulated, right? The younger the child, you use visuals. And so I've been known to bring out some visuals, this or that, right?
Oh, yeah. I had that as a young, the belt or the spoon?
Oh, no.
Do you want the spanking in the living room, or do you want the spanking in your room?
So you had choices.
I had choices.
So, Jack, let me tell you something. Love and Logic, sarcasm will kill the program, and so I have to watch that. But also, Love and Logic, there's no spanking involved in Love and Logic.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love it, too. My husband, I will never forget this, he's a spanker. I mean, he spanked the kids, and I supported him that. But Travis was about in the third grade, and I came home, and he was sitting on the couch, and he goes, I need to read one of those Love and Logic books. Because mm-hmm. the spanking is not working. And I wanted to say, ha ha, I told you. And I mm-hmm. went, let me get one for you. Let me get you an audio that you can mm-hmm. listen to in the car.
Because would you rather listen to it in the
would
car?
Would you rather listen to it or read it?
Pretty much. And let me tell you, since Jack brought that up, let me tell you how Love and Logic can work on all ages. Because, and I know this is replay and talk, yeah. but once you start using it, it gets used on you, but you also use it on others. So here's some choices. It's called forced decision making, which I love. Since I work at night too, after I work during the day, I do professional development classes and stuff. Oftentimes, I'll call my husband and he'll say, oh, one of the kids forgot this or that. And, you know, or maybe I needed him to do something. And so I'll call him and say, hey, listen, do you want to go pick up the band uniform for Caitlin? Or would you like to go to the Minuch, which is across the street from our house, to get a gallon of milk because we're out of milk? And he was going, I don't want to do either one. I'm home. I go, oh, I know. And that's empathy. Empathy is like you understand. So you just go, I understand, but I'm just wondering which one you'd like to do, pick up the milk or the band uniform. I'll do the one you don't want to do. And 99.9% of the time, my husband would go, well, I'm just going to pick the milk up because it's across the street. I go, well, then I will get the band uniform. And that's a way you don't have any argument or power struggle. I hear from teachers all the time that they use it that way. And then one night when the kids were still in school, I'm coming home and I'm tired. I had a long day and it's like 8:30 at night. My class ran over, so I'm tired. I want to get home. And my husband calls me and he goes, hey, sweetheart, how was your day? I go, it's really long. I just want to get home, change clothes. And then he does this. Well, I was just wondering, and I already knew, don't you try that Love and Logic on me. He goes, no. I was just wondering, would you like to stop on your way home and get basically the same thing? Would you like to stop and get something we need for breakfast tomorrow? Or would you like to do this other thing? And I said, you're using Love and Logic on me. Mm-hmm. And he just started laughing. He goes, no, I'm letting you have first dibs. Both need to be done, and I'll do the one you don't want to do. And I go, you know I'm going to stop by the store because it's on the way home, and I'm going to pick that up. And you know I don't want to be messing with geometry or whatever it is when I get home because I'm going to be tired. And he goes, no, I'm really giving you a choice. I go, I will pick it up. And he goes, okay, then I'll help with the geometry homework. And he goes, love you. And I go, I love you too. But, you know, so it gets used on you, but really it's hard to get mad because right. you know what it's doing, but you also feel empowered and you feel respected about it. And then the problem solving gets better.
Yeah. And you mentioned empathy a minute ago, which I know Love and Logic talks a lot about. Something that with my two young girls, they're 5 and 7, but I've been really trying to teach them how to be empathetic human beings. Mm-hmm. Why is empathy so important in parenting? And also along with that, why is it important to separate the behavior from the child instead of putting those two things together?
So important, both of those questions. First of all, empathy, especially certain of us in this room probably were not raised with empathy. It was basically what Jack referred to earlier. Yours is not the reason to ask why. It's either do or have a real severe consequence. So empathy needs to be taught, and let me tell you why, because it helps build the relationship. You can have an empathetic response to a child who's made a mistake. Love and Logic is not permissive. They're still going to get a consequence. But you can help the kid in the moment realize, you understand this is hard, here's the consequence, but you and I are still okay.
Yeah.
So we're not taking it personally. They're still learning. And now that we know so much about the brain, our brains are not considered an adult brain till 25 now. So our upstairs brain is not fully developed until 25. So basically, anybody under 18 that's still living in our home, they're still developing their upstairs brain. And so a lot of their behaviors are very, very normal for them. And so when I hear a parent out in public saying, I need you to act your age, And I want to come by and go. And so my husband says, shh, not your business. Mm-hmm. But I want to come and say, they are. They're acting their brain age.
Yeah.
Okay, so younger the kid, the more dysregulation you're going to have. So empathy keeps you calm. And also, if you can get over the fact that not really everybody's staring at you. Okay, because Travis was a public temper tantrumer, and I'm the behavior specialist for the district. The city is not that small.
Right.
And so people would see me, and I go, hello. And inside, I'm thinking, there's no love and logic here. What I want to do is probably not, I shouldn't talk about. And I'd be embarrassed, and I'd own that. And what we need to realize as parents is we need to practice patience. You're going through something that if you've ever been a parent, you know what we all feel for you. And we need to realize the kid's not deliberately trying to come and get you. They're dysregulated. They're having a meltdown. So empathy shows the kid in front of us that we do care about them and we're going to see them through it. And when you're practicing patience, one of my favorite sayings is, this too shall pass. And that's taking care of yourself. If you show empathy and say, this is really hard, I'm still going to give you a consequence, but I understand that this is hard for you, okay? And in that brief moment when I give the empathy, it's like, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Love and Logic has a book that says, love me enough to set some limits. Mm-hmm. So you're still going to have the limits. You're still going to have the consequence. There's a myth in behavior, and that is you have to be mean to make the consequence work. It's a myth. The consequence, if it's a good one, will work. It will work even better if we deliver it with empathy and with calmness so that the person can think about what they did, okay, instead of trying to seek revenge, okay? Mm-hmm. Love and Logic has this question. Who do you want the kid to be mad at? You or themselves?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I think drawing on my own, you know, I've got a 20-year-old and a 16-year-old, mm-hmm. and when you're calm and cool and you deliver the news, it's guilt, I think.
They're introspecting. They're really right. thinking about them. Jack, that just leads what he says, because Jim Fay always says, he's retired now, but he always says, do you want the person to be mad at you because of the way you deliver the consequence, or do you want the person to be mad at themselves thinking, you know what, they gave me some information, mm-hmm. I ignored it, I did it anyway, mm-hmm. now I get the consequence, I did that, they didn't do that, the relationship stays positive, they can think about it, and your relationship continues to grow as you guide them through that. And Love and Logic is a multi-layered program, and you can pick and choose techniques in the moment, but empathy is like the founding principle of it. Put the problem on them. In other words, not to own the problem, because if you're owning the problem, you're not taking care of yourself. So even with my 3-year-old grandson, when he makes a mistake, like he thought he could carry his entire bowl of cereal by himself with sure. milk, and it goes everywhere. And my daughter just went, and I said, I got this. I go, so wow, what happened? And he goes, I spilled my milk and my cereal's all over the floor. I go, that's tough. So what are you going to do about it now? Not about what are we going to do, but what are you going to do? And he's standing there and milk is everywhere. And he looks at me, he goes, I guess I'm going to clean it up. I go, that's a great idea. How are you going to clean it up? He goes, with my shirt? I go, is there anything else? And he goes, paper towel. Paper towel. Do you need me to get that or can you get that? And he goes right into choices. He goes, I can get it. Can you hold the bowl? I can hold the bowl. So I'm holding the bowl and he goes and he gets it and he's cleaning it up. Now, some of you are probably saying he's not going to do a good job. Of course not.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm going to let him own that. And then as he toddles and goes plays with something else, then I can come in there mm-hmm. and clean up the way that maybe I want to clean up. But I always ask people, and so people who are listening to this can think about this. How do you feel when you solve a problem?
Yeah, I feel proud.
You feel pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Okay? It took me my second car in college to realize that the check engine light was important.
No.
Okay? So when I finally realized that and understood what that meant and I could solve that problem on my own, I felt really good. Okay? So Jim Fay says that everything is a teachable moment if we allow it, and empathy will help you with that. Taking care of yourself will help that, given choices. And then the relationship with your kid is going to be stronger on the end. And if you can separate the behavior from the person, you are really, really going to make that relationship blossom. I always like to say this. Sometimes my kids that I work with at school get out of control. And so I have to intervene. I have to be the person that takes them to the office, or I have to be the person who calls the parent, or I have to be the person that might have to hold them until they calm down because they're hurting themselves or others. And I know I do a great job if I see those same kids out in the community and they suddenly start going, Miss Smith, Miss Smith. And I go, well, hello there. And I never tell their business. Oftentimes they tell on themselves. the mother will go, well, who is this? And maybe I haven't met the parent yet because it hasn't happened but one time. And the kid will go, oh, that's Miss Smith. She's the one that had to hold me when I tore up the classroom. And I'm very nice to meet you. And the parent's going, oh, my goodness. And I go, no, we're okay. And she knows we're okay because the kid is coming up to me smiling and wants a relationship with me. That's when I know I've done my love and logic because the relationship should stay intact, even though I have to be the deliverer of bad news.
I'm not totally sure my son would be immune to this because when you mentioned, what are we going to do about this in the spilled milk? He would be like, sounds like you're going to clean it up. That's what the solution would be. I would be the one.
Well, Jack, first of all, I'm going to correct you because it's a common thing we always say, what are we going to do about it? Love and logic says you always want to say, what are you going to do about it? And then if he says, because sometimes that's my Travis, he would say, well, I guess you have a mess and you're going to clean up. I go, wow, well, that is a possibility. So let me give you some information. And love and logic, you can always give information.
Yeah, just keep going.
Mom's not going to clean that up. So what are some other things that you think that you could do? And then Travis was always very smart. He goes, I could pay my sister to do it. And I go, hey, that's a free market idea. If you think your sister will clean it up. Some days I would see his sister cleaning up a mess and I'd go, what happened? She goes, I'm getting $2 for that. And I said, I hope you got the money in advance.
You know what I'm saying?
But then they learned. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's also a real quick strategy. I know we're probably running out of time that I absolutely love. And that is when a parent's getting upset or whatever, you can basically, if you're dramatic like me, it's very easy. If you're not, you can still tone it down and do it. When the kids were fighting and fussing and I could tell that I'm not taking care of myself, I would suddenly go, oh my goodness, I am having the biggest brain drain ever. And so the only way to get my energy back up and get my brain working as it needs to, mom's going to go in her room and lay down and watch one of her programs with a large soda and some popcorn, and I'm going to lock the door. So y'all just stay in the house, carry on with the fight, but please remember that anything that happens, you'll be responsible for, you know, repairing or cleaning up, okay, as long as you stay in the house. And don't disturb me. I got to get my energy back up. You do that a few times and the kids will be knocking on the door going, Mom, are you coming out? And I go, almost, you know what I'm saying? Right. So you get yourself back together. You keep the kids safe. They're inside. Jim Fay actually does this if you have fence in the backyard. And, you know, we're in Texas where we have hot and hotter. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry about a kid basically freezing to death because, you know, it doesn't get that cold. I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but you really don't. So a lot of times he says if the kids are fighting, instead of telling them to stop fighting, which we all know how well that works.
Sure.
You can say, hey, would you like to fight outside or would you like to fight in your bedroom with the door closed? Because Jim Fay says, once you give kids permission to fight and you really know that they know you're not going to intervene, usually the fight will soothe itself down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's always exceptions. If you have kids that you think are going to hurt, you're going to monitor that. And I did that a few times and my kids, they just stopped fighting. They found other ways to deal with it because they didn't want to go outside in the backyard because they probably knew that my husband would say, while you're out there, you might as well do some poop and scooping, you know, and they go, no, we don't want to go. Don't send us outside.
So big believer, obviously, in love and logic. But let's switch topics for just a quick minute before we wrap up, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because we know you're also a big believer in self-talk. And that's something that, you know, we've talked about before on our podcast. So talk about what parents and caregivers, you know, how they talk to their children and all, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I hope anybody who's listening to this, because my kids will definitely come on your show and tell you that I am a parent like everybody else. I have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So just because I'm giving you these tips doesn't mean that I do it 100% because parenting is the toughest job you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really draining job, and it's very challenging. But what we say to our kids is very important. Before you, especially if you're kind of impulsive, you know, like my husband is, or me sometimes when I'm upset, we have to, once again, it goes along with love and logic. We have to take care of ourselves before we interact. And if that means you need to take some deep breaths, if that means you need to call a friend, if that means you need to time yourself out, then I'm going to tell your parents to do that. My kids grew up knowing that they never really went to time out a lot. First of all, I couldn't really enforce it because they'd never stay in the room, but I could definitely go in my room. So if you need to take a time out so that you can get yourself back in the position that you can do the tough job of parenting, do that. And then you're going to make a mistake. So you're going to say something to the kid that you wish you hadn't said. I believe 100% that everything can be turned into a teachable moment. So if you say something that you wish you hadn't said, then model for your child how you apologize, how you accept responsibility for a mistake, and then ask the child how you can repair the relationship after you said something, you know, that probably you wish you hadn't, okay? Kids are very resilient, but they're also very loving. They forgive a lot, and I love the fact, that's why I love working with kids, because kids will give you opportunity over and over again to get it right. And I love that. At the same time, Jim Faye says, don't worry if you don't get Love and Logic right the first however many times you try it, because with kids, they make enough mistakes, they're going to give you more opportunities to practice your skills.
Right.
So you learn each time you practice it, and you get better and better at it. And so the way we talk to our kids, I'm a very loud person, I'm a very sarcastic person, so the first thing that I do before I start speaking to a kid that I work with at school or my own family or even my ADHD husband is I take a deep breath and I lower my volume. Very simple tip, if you lower your volume, then it gives your brain a little time to think and you feel calmer. Also, if you can have any discussions with anybody that you're already upset with sitting down, that's going to be helpful, because when we stand up, we can get a lot of energy going. Mm-hmm. So if you can sit somewhere, sit on the couch, sit on the bed with the child, or sit somewhere, you know, even a beanbag chair, anything that you can sit with, if you take it to the position of sitting, that's going to calm you down too. Deep breathing always works good. I teach the kids 5-4-3-2-1, and that's a really great, easy, calming way just to focus yourself and get yourself under control. It's a myth in parenting, I think, that we have to deal with the problem right then. We don't. We can have time to cool off and get ourselves together. And my daughter, I see her doing that a lot with a three-year-old. Like, if he makes a mess, she'll walk down the hallway just to get a moment. The mess is still going to be there. We have five animals, so, you know, chances are an animal's probably going to clean it up anyway. Oh, why did I say five? We don't even have five. We have three. It feels like we have five. But anyway, so take a break, take a space, breathe. I tell teachers this all the time, and it's good for parents too, Q-tip it. That's going to help you a lot too. And Q-tip just stands for quit taking it personally. If the kid's having a tantrum, this is about something that's going on with them. If the kid's saying they want to run away and they hate you, this is an emotional outburst. This is that brain not being fully developed. And as much as it hurts us, we have to kind of say we're the adult. There's a teacher that had this in her room, and I loved it. It said, I will not yell. I will not overreact. I will not, the whole list. And then it says, because I am the teacher.
Right.
I am the teacher.
Right.
I am the teacher. So sometimes we have to say, I'm the adult, and I have empathy for this child that's melting down because something's going on, and they are in emotional distress. So just as we protect our children for physical things, it's important for us to help them with their emotional health. Model how to get through it. Model, you can never solve a problem within the problem, so talk about the problem after everybody's calm. Make sure everybody's calm and we're ready. I always like to say you want to de-escalate the problem before you solve the problem. You want to separate the child from the behavior. You're not going to be perfect at it, but it helps you to remember that and to remember. And then I always like to, when I'm talking to kids, my own or the kids at school, ask the kid, can we get a lesson from that? What did we learn from that? Maybe it's not a good idea for us to let you stay up late on Friday night after you've had a long week at school. Maybe we could let you stay up late Saturday instead of Friday, because I've noticed the last three Fridays you melt down. You know, you check for those patterns and stuff. And then always use your choices. Choices always help. I always ask kids who are having a tantrum, what can I do to help? And sometimes they say, get out. And I go, well, I can't get out, but I can move over here, and I'm just going to be quiet until you're ready to talk. Can I get you some water to drink? Can I get you a washcloth? Can I get you a paper towel? And sometimes my own kids said, Mom, I just need you to leave me alone. I have to respect that. And it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Well, thank you, Kelly, so much.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. We would love it if you would give us a glowing review on whatever platform you are listening to. 5-star reviews are obviously our favorite. We encourage you to follow us on all of our social media platforms for ideas on how to read, play, and talk at home. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Read Play Talk, or on Twitter at Read Play Talk TX.